It is August 17. As I record this podcast, as you listen to it, as you share it with your friends, Russia is either destroying civilian infrastructure and killing innocent people or preparing for it. Every day, Russians launch dozens of rockets, hundreds of bombs and thousands of projectiles at Ukrainian schools, hospitals, factories and homes. They are targeting the civilian population, attempting to inflict as much harm as possible on Ukrainians. Russian propaganda depicts us as savages who seized parts of Russian lands, named them Ukraine, and live there for our own pleasure. Russians eagerly believe this narrative and are fervently striving to liberate Ukraine from Ukrainians. In the early weeks of the full-scale invasion, when Ukrainians were still grasping the magnitude of the disaster we faced, people tried to find something human in the occupiers and appeal to that humanity. In towns and villages, residents painted on the gates of private homes with the words, "People live here," believing that the Russians would see it and refrain from shelling or looting the house. But the outcome was completely opposite. For the occupiers, every living person in the occupied territory was someone who could be robbed or raped or taken hostage and extorted for ransom from their relatives in exchange for release. In the occupied territories, the Russians distributed their passports to the local residents. Officially for Moscow, these people are now Russian citizens, but citizens are not even of the second, but of the third class. The Russians forcibly take business and property from these people, evict them from their homes. They can be sent to prison on charges of cooperation with the Ukrainian army and demand a bribe for closing a fictitious criminal case. When retreating from the occupied territories, the Russians mercilessly fire at those to whom they themselves gave out their passports and allegedly accepted them as a fellow citizens. Where they still hold, the Russians carry out large-scale ethnic cleansing and implement whole programs of changing the ethnic composition of the population. In the Crimea, occupied by them since 2014, the Russians brought from 500,000 to 800,000 people from their regions. Ukrainians and Crimean Tatars, the original inhabitants of Crimea, are persecuted, sent to prisons, and literally pushed to leave the peninsula. That is, the Russians really want to own Ukraine, but for them it is desirable that there are no Ukrainians here. Even at the beginning of a full-scale invasion, the main Russian news agency published a long text praising Putin for the war he started, in which it separately emphasized his leading role in the final solution of the Ukrainian question. I swear, it was written exactly like that, the solution of the Ukrainian question. Just like in Nazi Germany, where, I remind you, the plan for complete extermination of European Jews was referred to as the final solution of the Jews question. And those who published a text about the destruction of Ukraine could not have been unaware of this. By the way, the arguments used by proponents of the idea of annihilating Ukrainians are the same and just as insane as those used by the Nazis. The Nazis claimed that Jews supposedly posed a threat to the existence of Germans and therefore had to be exterminated. Russians write that Ukrainians are all-encompassing enemies of Russia. Hence, they must be eliminated before they gather strength and set out to destroy Russia themselves. It is clear that the threat from Ukraine to Russia is as non-existent as the threat to the Germans from the Jews in the 1930s. These are just fabrications to cover the cannibalistic plans of insane dictators. But this does not mean that the threat of the destruction of Ukrainians as a nation does not exist. This threat exists and, unfortunately, it is far from zero.